Well, I'm just so proud of our children's ministry. They do such a fantastic job. One of the great signs of a good church is hearing the cries of joy and the cries of tears of children all through this building. So here's my challenge today. How do you preach about the Holy Spirit on Kids Kingdom Sunday, you know? Here's my answer. We're going to show you pictures, all right? We're going to try to keep this really simple. In fact, we're going to review what we've been doing. First of all, on Easter Sunday, we talked about the resurrection power of the Holy Spirit. We claimed the promise of Romans 8, verse 11, that the same power that resurrected Jesus from the dead is available to us. We've also spent some time with this weird-looking refrigerator. It's from North Korea, where they don't have power, so they've turned it into a bookshelf. And so often our lives look like that when we're not plugged into the power of God. Instead of that refrigerator being used for what it was created for, it's used for something different. And when we're not plugged into that Holy Spirit power, we end up our lives not being all they should be and all they were created to be. And then last week we talked about this polar bear. It was at the Denver Zoo. They had been given this incredible polar bear. They wanted to build a great habitat with it, with streams and water and grass and caves. The only problem is it took them 3 years to do it. And within those 3 years, they kept that polar bear in a small little cage. And so when they finally opened the big place, all the polar bear would do is take 3 steps forward and 3 steps back. Wouldn't move. And so many of us, I believe, because of our limited view of the Holy Spirit, we're not experiencing everything he has for us. And then today, the picture we're going to use, we'll get there in a minute, is of a sailboat in a sail. And I hope this is going to help us understand how we tap into this power. But first, I want to go back to last week. In this great list, you also see it in your copy of Lifelines, of help that's available through the Holy Spirit. I mean, just look at that list. That's not even an exhaustive list of everything Scripture promises us the Holy Spirit does. I need to look at that list because it stretches me. I need to understand that the Holy Spirit helps me in my prayer. He strengthens me to overcome temptation. I mean, he's there to lead me and direct me and to prompt me. He gives incredible gifts. And you know, over the last few weeks, I've been asking some of you to share stories. And it's been so encouraging. I was just given a story in the lobby a moment ago. And I'm sorry I can't use them all. But I've heard stories from a dear woman who's traveling to Dothan to the hospital there. Her mom's in critical condition. She's scared she's going to die. And on that road going down 231, there were just some big red signs. And she heard the whisper of God, "My grace is sufficient." And when she rode back, those signs were not there. I've heard stories from men in this church who were in a situation where they wanted to witness for Jesus and they had no words, and the Holy Spirit gave them those words. I've talked to people looking at that long list of gifts the Holy Spirit given. I've talked to some of you who have actually experienced the miraculous gifts of the Spirit. I've seen many of us, others who maybe more normal, natural gifts. Yesterday in Love the City, I was able to be in a great team where people were using the gift of service to change our city. And you see it all across the board. I want to share some stories, though, from our new tech minister, Jake Greer, that he told me from his family. And these are some cool stories about how the Holy Spirit works. When they were living in Arkansas, they one day went to Walmart. They're checking out from a Walmart. There's a lady a couple places down from them. And Jake just heard the Spirit say to him, "You need to go talk to that woman and you need to tell her that she's a good mom and that God loves her." Well, Jake said he chickened out. So he walks out on the sidewalk because he had never met the woman, never talked to him. And then Tasha said, "Jake, you better get back in there. Don't we love our wives? You better get back in there." And so Jake went back in there and he said, "Ma'am, I'm trying to be more sensitive to the Holy Spirit, and you may think I'm crazy, but I want to tell you, he told me to tell you, you're a good mom and that he loves you." She broke down crying. She began to share the difficulties she was having with some of her children. One of her sons had been in and out of jail. And she was so thankful just to hear those words. Well, the cool thing is the Greer family developed a relationship with her. Every time they go back to Arkansas, they still go to that Walmart to see her. They FaceTime her here from Montgomery to continue that relationship. So beautiful. Then I heard a story after Tasha, after they moved here, Tasha felt the Spirit telling her, there's going to be a woman in a purple dress at Landmark this morning, and you need to talk to her. So if you got your purple dress on, be careful today, all right? And yes, there was. And Tasha walked right up to her, and the lady needed that conversation. I know lots of our members who walk in this room asking God to reveal someone who might need a word. And then this is a cool thing about the Greer family. They had a missionary come to their former church 18 months before they moved here. And the missionary at the end of his presentation just offhandedly says, is there anybody here named Jake? Well, Jake again has this encounter. And the missionary says, I feel like I need to tell you in the next 18 months, you're going to be called to a new ministry. Now listen, this is our blessing. 18 months to a day, Jake accepted the job here at Landmark. Don't you love those stories? Yes, Gwen, let's clap. And he said, well, buddy, why are you telling me this? I don't know about you. I need to be stretched in this. But I need to hear those stories. I need to understand these promises were not just about yesterday, they're about today. Some of us were brought up thinking the Godhead was God the Father, God the Son, and God the Bible. Well, the Bible is very important, but it doesn't take the place of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So we see this list of what the Holy Spirit does. Here's what I want you to know this morning. The Holy Spirit is a who, not a what. You don't refer to the Bible, in the Bible, the Holy Spirit is referred to as a he. Even though the word is gender neutral, well, why does it refer to as a he? Because God wants you to know this is not some just mystical spirit. This is actually a being, a person that you interact with. And so we see on this, the list we saw, what he does for us. Now I'd like to show you or start talking about what in the world do we do for him? What can I do to the Holy Spirit? Listen, guys, it's a reciprocal relationship. He does all this for us, but the Holy Spirit, it's a being. He's not without feelings. He's not without waiting for our response. You ever been in a relationship that you thought was gonna be really good, but it wasn't reciprocal? Didn't work very well, did it? You had to be able to have that reciprocal relationship. And the Bible tells us some things that we do to the Holy Spirit. I'm just gonna look at these very quickly. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 19 says, we can quench the Spirit. In the context there, it's a lack of thanksgiving and it's a lack of respect for God's word. We quench, some translations say there, we put out the fire of the Holy Spirit. You realize you can do that? Ephesians 4:30 says we can grieve the Spirit. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God with whom you've been sealed for the day of redemption. Now what's going on in this context? Here are some people who are claiming to be Christians, but not living it out in their daily lifestyle. And what does that do to the Spirit that's supposed to empower us to live it out? It grieves him. It makes him sad. And then here's probably the most scary of the whole list. You can actually insult the Spirit. How much more severely do you think someone deserves to be punished who has trampled under the foot the Son of God? Who is treated as an unholy thing, the blood of the covenant that was sacrificed for them, and who has insulted the Spirit of grace. Well, that's a strong word. What's happening here in Hebrews that actually insults the Spirit? These young Christians are deserting the faith. They are rejecting Christ. And it's an insult to everything the Spirit does for us. Well, let's get positive, okay? So do you see the point? It's an interactive relationship. Here's the point we want to get to. We can also cooperate with the Spirit. Listen to two passages from the book of Galatians. First of all, verse 16. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. What's it mean to walk by the Spirit? When we say, well, somebody's got a good Christian walk, or someone doesn't have a walk, what does it mean? It's their lifestyle, okay? Are you walking with the Spirit? Are you living that lifestyle? And then he adds another word in verse 25. Since we live by the Spirit, same word as walk by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. What does it mean to keep in step? The term here in the Greek is actually a military term. It means to line up. It means to follow. Not only am I living the lifestyle, but I'm continuing to follow. I'm continuing to grow. I'm continuing to change as the Holy Spirit leads my life. So that's our challenge today. That's what we're going to talk about. How do we cooperate with the Spirit? And that's where we bring in our sailboat. And the challenge today is for you and I to raise our sail. I want to imagine you being in a bay and on the shore, and out in the bay there are two boats. And you can feel the wind is blowing, the waves are lapping at your feet. You can even sort of feel the wetness of the breeze. And you look out in one boat is flying. It's going so fast. It's going in a clear direction. It's under control. And then you look out and there's another boat, same bay, same wind, that's going nowhere. It's just standing still. What's the difference? Obviously, the difference is one boat has its sail up and is filled with the wind, and the wind is taking it somewhere because the sail is there. The other boat in the same bay with the same wind is going nowhere because its sail's not up. Because that's my challenge for us today. We all have the Holy Spirit. Scripture says, if you're a Christian, you have the Spirit. If you don't have the Spirit, you're not a Christian. We all have the Spirit. The question is my sail up to be directed and to cooperate with the Spirit? Now, Jesus said almost the same thing back in John chapter 3. He's talking to Nicodemus, this member of the Sanhedrin, and trying to convince Nicodemus it's possible by the power of God to start life over again. You can be born again. Now look back in John chapter 3 with me just for a moment. Verse 5, Jesus answered, very truly, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, you must be born again. Here we go. The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from and where it's going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit. Well, what's he saying there? Exactly what we've been emphasizing here. The wind is not seen, but its effects are. And here's the principle. You don't control the wind, you cooperate with the wind. That's the principle we're talking about today. I think one thing that scares us about the Holy Spirit is because we want to control. And when you submit your life to the Holy Spirit, he may do things to you you didn't expect. He may take you to places you didn't want to go. He may move you. It'll always be great, but it's giving up control. And so the truth is, we don't control the wind. We don't control the Spirit. Jesus says he goes and does what he wants to do. Now understand, he loves you more than you love yourself. He's going to do better things for you than you ever dreamed. But what's my end of it? I cooperate with that Spirit. What do you do, buddy? I can't create the wind. I don't have the power on my own. Well, what's your role then? My role is just to position myself in a position where it takes advantage of the wind, okay? So today I want to get practical about how we do that. I love the story, though, back in the Old Testament. I think that illustrates this. You remember that story of Elijah the prophet when he's fighting the prophets of Baal? And Elijah brings this big showdown and says, okay, we're going to have a stack of wood here, and you ask your God to catch it on fire. And then I'm going to ask my God. Well, you remember the story. The prophets of Baal go first, and they call down fire from heaven. They cut themselves. It's one of the funniest passages in the Bible. They even ask their God if he's He's in the restroom right now. I mean, where is he? And nothing happens. And then Elijah pours water all over the wood, then calls on the fire of God, and God zaps it and incinerates it. I love what my friend Dave Clayton said about this. He says, you cannot bring the fire, that's not our job, but you can stack the wood. So here's what we're talking about this morning. How do we stack the wood? How do we prepare for the Spirit to work in our life? I'm gonna give you five very practical points. First of all, it starts with attention. You gotta, and I've got to slow down enough to notice. My friend, the wind is already blowing. The Spirit is always working. My problem is so often I'm too busy to notice. Because guess what? In our lives, we have endless distractions. One of the biggest one is in your hand right now, probably. And so you slow down. Because you ever been somewhere where people experience two different things in the same place? So like those two sailboats on the bay. I think about last Sunday. Whether you're here at first service last Sunday or second service last Sunday, I mean, it was a powerful day. I mean, the Spirit was moving. People were coming to Christ. I mean, I don't know how many people said, man, this is one of the best services we've ever had. And yet, I will guarantee you, there are certain people that were here in this same room, experienced the same thing, and walked out and complained because it was too long. Or said, you know, oh my God, yeah, that was the most boring sermon I've ever heard, man. But I can't wait for buddy to get off this Holy Spirit stuff. I mean, I guarantee you, I know those things happen. Oh, what's the difference? The difference is, am I given attention? Do I walk in this place expecting the Holy Spirit to work? Or am I just plopping in my pew to go through the motions? You got to give it attention. You got to believe he's here. Because the first and most important point about having the Holy Spirit in your life is you got to actually believe the Holy Spirit's in your life and he wants to work. Amen? Number two, alignment. Let God's word set your sail. The Spirit and the word of God work together. If you ever think the Spirit is telling you to do something that's against the word of God, you know it's not the Spirit. Why? Because this word is inspired by the Spirit and is called the sword of the Spirit. So how do I align my sail for this incredible power? I make sure I'm lining my life up behind the word of God. It aligns me. It tells me what's right and wrong. Some people abuse this. I've had people who, for no biblical reason, wanted to divorce their spouse, who came to me and said, you know, buddy, I know what the Bible says, but the Spirit's telling me that God just wants me to be happy. And so I need to divorce her. No! God doesn't just want you to be happy. That's a lie of Satan. Oh, he wants you to be happy and joyful in the long run. But that's not where it starts. God wants you to be holy. He wants you to be different. And so don't believe a lie. So you always make sure that what you're doing is aligning with the word of God. And then number three, jettison, throw off unhelpful baggage. Walking in the Spirit is not about just doing the right thing. It's also about avoiding the wrong thing. It's not simply about developing good spiritual habits. I really think spiritual disciplines, prayer, Bible study, fasting, worship, are ways we hire our sail to catch the wind. But it's not enough just to develop those. We also, most of us, have some habits and behavior that we need to get rid of. That's why in Galatians chapter 5, we see that beautiful list of the fruit of the Spirit. This is what it looks like to live a Spirit-filled life. Don't let anybody convince you that living a Spirit-filled life is going to absolutely always look crazy. More times than not, it's going to look like faith, hope, love, patience, goodness, self-control, all those things. But did you notice right beside that, right before that, is a list of the sinful nature, the kind of things you need to get rid of. So, man, guys, if you've got some sinful behavior in your life that's slowing you down, throw it overboard. Some of it's not sinful behavior, it's simply foolish behavior. I'm dedicating my time, every free time I got, to something foolish. Just scrolling my phone, just endlessly watching Netflix, just watching every sport that comes on, just shopping. Because if you're going to walk in the Spirit, you're going to have to get rid of some of those things. Now, number four is really important, obedience. Act on what you do know. Okay, remember what we said a moment ago? This is the sword of the Spirit. So if the Bible's giving you some clear instructions about things you do and don't do, if you're not obeying what he has clearly revealed to you, why would he want to tell you more through the Holy Spirit? You see these stories we're telling today? I mean, honestly, they stretch me. I've experienced some of those things, but not to the point some of you have. And I want those things. And I want to wake up every morning like, okay, Spirit, help me. What are we going to do today? I'm so excited about this. But too often, if I'm not careful, the Holy Spirit's told me something really plain and black and white, and I've disobeyed that. So obedience is a big part of this. You want to raise your sail? What do you know? What do you know right now where you're disobeying God? Where are you not putting God as your first priority? And then here's my favorite point of the five. Excitement. Enjoy the voyage. See, it's the coolest thing, guys. Once we tap into the power of the Holy Spirit and our sail is full and our life has purpose and direction and we're representing Jesus, what could be more exciting? I want to read you. In second service last week, one of our sisters, Dawn Rucker, walked forward, and what she wrote is so much better than what I could say, and I've asked Dawn for permission to share this with you. But here's what she wrote. My journal about the, let me see, no, start over here. Years ago, I learned to wind sail. It was a delicate and fun process, but required being positioned properly. The wind had to be right, but so did my sail, my feet, and my body. Once these things align, whoosh, off I went. Okay, if only the Holy Spirit could be the wind in my sail now. Once everything aligns, can you imagine the journey that's about to take place? Can you, brothers and sisters? It seems like I'm on the precipice of something new. I want to keep in step with the Spirit. I pray for alignment as I step into what assignment the Holy Spirit has lined up. This sermon nailed it for me today. And it is going in my journal about the gifts I've been given and what to do next. Please pray that my cell, my feet, my hands, and my heart will be aligned with the Holy Spirit so I can use these gifts. I love that. Man, that's the excitement. Now here's my question is, do you believe that for you? Or is this just for some spiritual person sitting across the aisle? No, God says these are for all of us. And how exciting to wake up every day. Some of you are in difficult situations. All of us have challenges we're facing. Life is not easy. But waking up knowing you have direction for more than just what our culture says, more than just what you think, you've got holy, powerful, God-inspired direction from the Holy Spirit. How much better you'll be. So let me close and ask this question. Are you cooperating with the Spirit? Maybe an easier way to ask this is your sail up? Or are you that boat out in the middle of the bay, looks just like the other boat, in the same bay with the same wind, just going nowhere? And today I ask you is your sail up? Or are you willing to listen? What's the easiest way to get your sail up? It's one of my favorite passages in all the Bible. Luke chapter 11, Jesus is comparing his heavenly father to our earthly fathers, and he's talking about giving gifts. And he said, if your earthly father, though evil, knows to give good gifts to his children. You see all these kids up here today? Jesus says, I don't think any of these guys are give those little babies snakes for Christmas, right? He says, if you know good enough, despite the fact you're a sinner, that you don't give those kind of gifts, how much more will your Father in heaven, listen closely, give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Woo! Ask him. Reminds me of a camp me and my son Lincoln went to. As some of you heard of J.H. Ranch. That was my buddy Tim Lee's passion, if he could get you out there. And so Lincoln and I go out there when he's a senior in high school. And one of the exercises at camp is that they blindfold the kids and put them on the mountain, and they've got to get to, you know, the space where you're safe. But they're blindfolded. The leadership will simply tell them if they're hot or cold. And the dad's job is just to walk beside them and make sure they don't fall into some ditch or run into a tree. If any of you know my son Lincoln, he's quite competitive. I don't quite know where he got that, but he is extremely competitive. And so, man, he is ready to go. And they blow the whistle and all the kids, it's on a mountain. And so Lincoln goes up and he goes down and he's going all around, and man, he's just not finding it. And I'm keeping him from falling into a gully. I'm keeping him, you know, right on task. And finally, this would kill him. Every other kid had made it to base, but Lincoln. And he just was frantic and going. And finally he said, Lincoln, just go ahead and take it off, man. And Lincoln said, well, where did I go wrong? You never asked your dad to help you. He was beside you, and you could have asked him at any point, and he'd got you at base. Man, sort of broke my heart. And I think it grieves the Holy Spirit when I'm frantically trying to win in life, and I don't have the guidance and power I need simply because I haven't asked. So in just a moment, we're going to raise the sail and we're going to ask. And if you'd like us to ask something for you today, meet me on this front row. If you're ready to be born of the water and the Spirit today and start life over with this power, meet me on this front row while we stand together and sing.